You're the Kim Frazier Show on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
But a new study out from the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada might just make you as a parent feel a lot better. It turns out our young teens aren't as sexually active as we think, and you, the parent, have a lot more influence than you think on the decisions your teens make about sex. Intrigued? Let's find out more with Institute of Marriage and Family Canada researcher Peter John Mitchell. Welcome.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, so first of all, I just want to ask you, where did you get your information from?
We used data from Stats Canada from their national survey of, longitudinal survey of children and youth. So that's a pretty comprehensive data set that we used from Statistics Canada.
Okay, so it wasn't just like something on the internet.
No.
Okay, I want to take a look at, as we move through sort of how parents influence their kids, but first of all, can we take a look at the teen sex rate? Because this surprised me. Now, among 14 to 19-year-olds, almost 40% of teens are sexually active, which struck me as being low, and I imagine it's skewed by the higher age rate. What's the rate among 14 to 15-year-olds?
The rate between 14 and 50-year-olds would definitely be quite a bit lower, and that actually probably accounts for it being a number lower than maybe you would have expected. A lot of surveys in this area start at 15 to 19 or 15 to 18 or 17, so it's really just a little bit over 10% of 14 to 15-year-olds that are sexually active.
Did you hear that sound? That was a big sigh of relief from parents of 15-year-olds. When we're talking sexually active, what do we mean? Are we talking smooching or home run?
Well, for Stats Canada purposes, the question that they ask is consensual sexual intercourse.
Okay.
So that's open to interpretation by the teen. So generally what we think we're probably finding is intercourse. Basically, that's what we think that teens are most likely answering. And there's been some other surveys done and other studies done in terms of asking kids to tell us what they think that means, mm-hmm. and that's always sort of interesting. So this might not include, for instance, kids that are involved in oral sex and that sort of thing.
Okay, well, now all 14- to 15-year-old parents are all hyper again. Among the 16- to 17-year-olds, what kind of rate are we looking at?
We're looking up around 30% or so. And then for 18 and 19-year-olds, quite a bit higher, just over 60%.
See, even at 60%, I would have thought that would have been low from what we hear.
Yeah. Certainly there's this perception that, as you said in the introduction, that kids are having sex all the time. It's interesting. There was some survey data released earlier this year by Reg Bibby, who's a sociologist at the University of Lethbridge, and he's been tracking youth trends in Canada for years and years and years. And he's actually found that the sex rate or the percentage of kids that are having sex is actually less now than it was 10 years ago. And when he looked at month by month, he found that actually senior adults were having more sex than teens.
Well, we don't want to contemplate either of those.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I wouldn't be too upset about 18, 19-year-olds, 60% of them having sex. I don't think that would probably shock too many of us. Why should we be want our kids to be less sexually active, our 16 and 17-year-olds, and obviously the 14 to 15, I get that.
Well, it might seem a little bit intuitive. You're right. It might seem a bit of intuitive, and data would show us that most parents would prefer that their teens delay sexual activity until after the teen years. And certainly, teens who engage in sex are at risk for things like pregnancy or STDs, STIs, sexually transmitted diseases, that sort of thing. Obviously more than kids that are not. And we also know that, in particular, teen girls physiologically are at a greater risk for contracting sexually transmitted disease as well. So there's definitely some concerns. And I mean, if you engaged in having unintended pregnancy or sexually transmitted disease, even for an adult, that's quite a thing to try to get your head around, and try to deal with, and how much more so if a teen faces it as well.
Peter John Mitchell is a researcher with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. We're talking about a study that they have come out with, how parental influence impacts teen sexual activity. The other thing that surprised me about this is that teen girls, are more sexually active than teen boys.
Yeah, and that's pretty consistent with other studies that we've looked at as well. Yeah.
Do you know why?
I'm not sure why that is. Yeah, it is kind of interesting that that they are.
And it turns out Quebec is one of the areas of the country that has the highest percentage of sexually active teens.
Yeah, that's true as well, yes.
Do we know why?
I'm not sure if it's, I'm not sure what the reason is for that, yeah. It could be just a different culture attitude, or I'm not totally sure why that would be.
Well, let's take a look at some of the things you do know about. These are the factors that in parental behavior that have a major effect on, you know, whether kids are going to be getting jiggy with it or not. And I'd like to start with, you found that parents who don't drink or smoke had kids who were less likely to be sexually active. First of all, how much less? Is it significant?
Yeah, first of all, the whole study is as a whole, we looked at the attitudes and behaviors of parents during the childhood, and then we looked 8 years later at teen sexual behavior. And so we found that in terms of non-alcohol use, it was about 18% less likely to be sexually active. And for in terms of not getting in terms of parents who refrained from getting intoxicated, it was about 15% less. And that's compared to parents who did get intoxicated. And the marker for that is looking at parents who were intoxicated two or more times in the previous year to answering the survey.
Wow, that's not a lot. So if you come home a little bit whizzed after, you know, an office party and your kids see you.
That potentially could have an effect, and it was much greater for girls, actually about 38% increase. One of the reasons perhaps for that is that teens very often, as with what our study is suggesting here with sex, teens very often gather their values about substance use, drinking, smoking, that sort of thing from their parents. If they're raised in a home where they see that they're maybe perhaps more likely to engage in that behavior themselves. And we also know that there's a link and a relationship between teen sexual behavior and substance use. Now, that doesn't mean that teens having sex are getting drunk or that kids getting drunk are necessarily having sex, but we do know there's a relationship there. And that can get particularly dangerous when teens are intoxicated and then get sexually involved.
Well, and we certainly do know that there's a relationship between alcohol use and sexual abuse of young women.
Absolutely, and many studies have investigated that for sure, yeah.
Okay, so you just looked at smoking. I'm surprised, actually, that smoking would have an impact. I can understand alcohol, but smoking, that kind of comes out of left field. Did you look at other drug use, parents who smoke pot, that kind of thing?
The survey, I don't believe, asked too many questions about parents about illegal drug use.
Okay.
It does tend to ask teens about their use as well. And we're still sifting through some of that data. I think we're going to be looking at a second study that will look at teen sexuality and other risk behaviors as well. But for this particular study, no, I didn't actually look beyond the use of smoking or alcohol.
Okay. So drinking, if a parent drink or smoke, your kids, if you don't drink or smoke, your kids have a much lower chance of becoming sexually active as teenagers. You also looked at parent-child relations. What does that mean?
Now, looking basically at parenting style and how parents and children interact, and certainly we found some findings there. We found that parents that tend to be inconsistent, we'll say, in their approach to parenting style, approach to discipline in particular, that led to about a 16% increase in the likelihood of sexual activity later on. Parents who, and I don't know, kids sometimes drive us nuts, but parents who engaged frequently in disciplining children while angry, that also we saw an increase of about 11%. Things that reduced the likelihood of sexual activity later on were, in particular, like father closeness and mother closeness as well. One interesting thing that we found actually was that reading to kids daily reduced the risk by 23%, but reading to kids less than once a week increased the risk by 33%. So that's an interesting finding, and we're not, the data doesn't explain exactly why we have that finding, but it may be that that's an indicator of the type of relationship that parents have with their kids, or how they maybe indicator of a type of style of parenting that the parents engage in.
I'd like to get back to this issue of discipline. So if you're giving in, if the kid goes, well, please, 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 what about things like spanking?
Yeah, interesting that the study doesn't actually ask questions about spanking and whether that's positive or negative behavior, and certainly that's a hot debate right now for other reasons. I think there's a Senate bill and that sort of thing going on, but our data doesn't really speak to that in particular. It speaks more about the attitudes that parents bring to discipline. And there's certainly a lot of data out there as well that suggests that that healthy parenting is characterized by warmth, by communication, by support, but also it involves supervision, clear limitations, and expectations that are expressed.
Our guest is Peter John Mitchell. We're talking about a study on how parental influence impacts teen sexual activity. Coming up, I want to ask you about people are volunteers. Does that have an impact? So who do you think should be talking to your kids about sex? 514-790-0991. Star Talk, star 8255. You can text your comments to 514-800. I think this is particularly pertinent in view of the fact that the province has canceled sex ed classes, the specific dedicated sex ed class in school, and has kind of left it up to teachers on sort of an ad hoc basis to do whatever they feel comfortable with. We are speaking with Peter John Mitchell, who is a research analyst at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. They've come out with a study called How Parental Influence Impacts Teen Sexual Activity. And it, you know, it really, I mean, based on the data that you have here, that we really do make a huge difference in that our teenagers are watching us.
Absolutely. And early home environments definitely influence later teen sexual behavior. And it's funny, there's been an ongoing study by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy. It's an organization in the U.S. And they've been doing this study since 1996, and they have two consistent findings. One is that teens say that the most influential person in their life when it comes to making decisions about sex is parents. And the second finding that they've found since 1996 is that parents chronically underestimate their own influence in the lives of their teens.
Well, you know what? I agree with you. I think that we do. Single parents who are listening right now,
yeah,
should they be very worried?
Well, we certainly found that family structure does play a significant impact and a significant role. And there's been research probably over the last 20 years that has really looked at the influence of the kind of family that that a child is raised in and how that might affect behavior across many different variables, not just teen sex. We found that when we took our data and we controlled for things like economic background and for age and that sort of thing, we found that boys of common law families tended to be a little more likely to be sexually active as teens, and girls from divorced and separated families tended to be a little more sexually active as a teen. For single parents, when we ran it through and controlled for different aspects, we found actually that the effect was essentially that there was an effect that teens from single-parent families were just as likely to have sex as the national average, so we didn't really see a difference.
Well, that's a big relief for single parents who spend much of their time feeling guilty.
Yeah, and that's certainly the idea behind the talking about family structure is not to make people feel guilty. And certainly, I think what it is, the best thing that parents can probably draw from this is to realize that perhaps there might be a factor there that might increase the risk of sexual activity, but still the parents are the most influential person in a teen's life. And so those risks, you know, we can take steps to really create a very safe and stable environment for kids and then create a very open and communicative relationship with teens. So, I mean, certainly some of these things are things that we can certainly deal with. I mean, in terms of the intoxication or the substance use, those are things that we can certainly change right away. But there are going to be certain things here that, for instance, divorce or a single parent family, that sort of thing, that, you know, something that's happened in the past that that perhaps we can't go back and change or happened for whatever reason, but we can certainly look towards the future.
What would you like parents to take away from this study?
I think the biggest thing that the parents can really take away from this is that they are the primary sex educators and that they have influence in teens' lives that really nobody else really has. And it's never too late to engage teens, even though you might get the slam door in the face. The teen may not be telling you that they want to hear from you, but they're telling researchers that they want to hear from you. And so be proactive and engage your teenager. Keep the lines of communication open.
Well, that's we all strive for That's for sure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Peter John Mitchell is a research analyst at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, and I'm going to post a hot link on my show page at cjd.com so that you can actually go and just check out the study. It's not, 3,000 pages long. You can go check it out for yourself. But, as a parent, I found it very reassuring to learn that we still have a tremendous amount of influence in our kids' lives when it comes to helping them make decisions about sex. And it doesn't mean we have to sit there and lecture them endlessly. But don't count yourself out, because they're listening to us. They might complain, but they're definitely listening.